So we've been in this series called The Questions of Prayer. And I just want to kind of review kind of where we've been, and then we'll sort of segue into where we're going to head for the day. But Tim and I, we're down on Larimer Street, and we see this Muslim man all of a sudden, right before the sun is about to set, pull out his prayer mat, bow to Mecca, and say a prayer. And then if you've noticed, the ESPN Stuart Scott tweets out to the world that his cancer has remained. And the Twittersphere and the Facebook go crazy of support and love and prayer for this man who's sort of an icon of all things sports at SportsCenter. And then you have, this is a little tweet, blessed by prayers, I'm back in the fight, C reared its head again, chemo every 2 weeks, but I'm still working out, still working. Beautiful, this idea of prayer and this support that goes out that we do. And then we have Bart Simpson, right, who's has some amazing examples of prayer for us. And after 26 years of being in the fourth grade, he wants to get out, so he decides to pray, "Well, old timer, I guess this is the end of the road. I know I haven't always been a good kid, but if I have to go to school tomorrow, I'll fail the test and be held back. I just need one more day to study, Lord. I need your help. A teacher strike, a power failure, a blizzard, anything that'll cancel school tomorrow. I know it's asking a lot, but if anyone can do it, you can. Thanking you in advance, your pal, Bart Simpson." And how many of us have been in that place before of like knowing that we really desperately needed something and crying out to God in that sense of way. And then this makeshift hut over the Himalayas that some village family, these Tibetan Buddhist people who made these prayer wheels, who believed that their prayers somehow were injected into the universe, bringing goodness and wholeness. They believe that the more times the prayer wheel spins, the more prayers are offered into the universe. And then many of us are familiar with the Western Wall, which some of us also know as the Wailing Wall, this place of grief and this place of mourning that Jews have gone for centuries. And then most recently in Ferguson, we have these prayer vigils where you voice your anger and your rage at what's going on in our world, where you find hope and healing. And in the midst of this human journey is this thing that we call prayer. Across cultures, across continents, we all seem to have this longing, this hunger to pray and to find something deeper, something more than our own experience of life. And so we talked last week about prayer, trying to give it a definition, trying to stir our hearts to think about it in a deeper way. Is prayer is this act of imagination where longings about ourselves, others, and the world are transformed by God. Big, huge definition, and we kind of broke it down last week very simply, and we're just going to do just a couple very simply, this act of imagination. This is sort of jarring to us when we think about prayer, but what we're doing when we pray is actually encountering what the Bible talks about, the eyes of our heart. There is this different realm that we're encountering when we go to prayer. We all are aware of the social, the economic, and political forces of our world, but prayer engages that deeper realm, that spiritual realm that's at work at all times. It's not fantasy or make-believe. The imagination is where it all happens. When you want to build a deck on your back porch, you think through what it's going to take. You imagine it in your mind before it ever becomes something. When you want to do any project, when you want your family to act and live and breathe in a certain way, you start to talk about it. I hope that one day we could go on a vacation as a family, that we could truly have this time of really awesomeness with each other, right? You start to use your imagination in new ways. This is exactly what Stephen Covey talks about in The Seven Habits when he says, begin with the end in mind. Let your imagination, so when we pray, we're engaging the imagination, we're engaging this deeper realm of human existence. And so imagination is the mind's ability to evoke images of things that aren't present, to think in new ways about people, about ourselves, about our world, and what we hope that it ought to be. I love that imagination is how the Bible speaks, how God speaks to us in these two passages. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. This is God working in our very imagination, stirring us to love and good deeds and all kinds of fresh realities to our life. And then Einstein, imagination is more important than knowledge. Knowledge is limited. Imagination encircles the world, the power of what our minds do in prayer. And so when we pray, we engage our imaginations and we also bring all of ourselves, the grief and the rage and the ache and the praise. Everything that makes us human goes into this act of prayer. So then prayer is this act of imagination where longings about ourselves, others in the world are transformed by God. And we learned about how neuroscience works and what's going on in our minds, that every time we engage prayer, we're asking these deep questions. Who am I? Who is God? Who's my neighbor? And what's the world like? And we learned about this really incredible Dartmouth study, these neuroscientists that got together, and they taught about when our images are, when we are praying, we're actually invoking all these images in our mind is like this mental workspace, working through these images, who we are, what the world's like, how we can be, how we can make a difference. And this mental workspace turns out to be what shapes and forms us as human beings. And then we talked about the thalamus, this incredible agent in our brain that actually teaches us who we are. So every time you pray, it's the most holistic, integrated activity that human beings do. Asking yourself the deepest questions about human existence and literally forming yourself in that way. This is incredible stuff, right? This is amazing. And so then there comes this God, this transformed by God, this act of imagination where longings about ourselves, others in the world, and God works in our very brain. It amazes me that our brains are literally wired for prayer. And this is like the way God transforms us. Though our brains were wired to think thoughts about who God is and what God is and how we can be new and refreshed and something humming to this world. And then we looked at the very end, we looked at an amazing example from Reverend Charles Adams where he was asked to pray at Rosa Parks' funeral. The dude took 12 minutes to pray, right? Amazing! And we looked at how he engages the imagination, invites us to be Rosa Parks to the world. And so what we're trying to do as a community is sort of stir us to feel again that sense of wonder of what a prayerful imagination can do in our community, how it can transform your life and your family's life. Are you with me so far?